Okay, Rabbeinu B'chai Parshas Lech Lecha. It begins with the pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Chaf. Holiches Chachamim Bechkam Veroek Silim Yeroa. So that if you walk with Chachamim, you will become wise. If you hang out with fools, you will be damaged. It'll be bad for you. So that means what it sounds like, that if you are hang out with smart people, good people, you're more likely to become good and smart. If you hang out with bad people or fools, you're more likely to become foolish. And he brings the Medrash that we know that if you go into a spice shop, even if you don't buy anything, you don't leave with any spices, you're already going to smell better because it was in the air. Same thing, if you hang around wise people, it'll rub off on you a little bit. And if you hang around dumb people or bad people, it'll rub off on you too. Therefore, always hang around with tzaddikim. This is a big precept in the Torah, and therefore Avram, who kept every aspect of the Torah, even Eruvei Tavshilin, Chazal tell us, which Rebbeinu B'chai brings here, he wants to keep the Torah too. Therefore Hashem commands him, Lech Lecha Me'aretz Yisrael, get out of here. You're around bad people, go to Eretz Yisrael. Now, Rebbeinu B'chai points out that Avram is not introduced to us like Noach is. Noach, we are told that he is an Ish Tzaddik. Avram, we're not told anything. It doesn't say that Avram was an Ish Tzaddik. Why not? So he says this was already hinted to in the last week's parsha. Last week's parsha mentioned that Avram was from Ur Kasdim. What does that mean, Ur Kasdim? Because he was the only one who believed in Hashem, and he broke the idols, and he was thrown in the fire, and there was a miracle, he wasn't burnt by the fire. So that was all hinted to in saying that he was from Ur Kasdim, and therefore we didn't need the intro. At least it's hinted to. Why it's not explicit, I don't know. Okay, then we have Hashem blesses him, that you'll go, don't worry, you'll be fine there, I will make you into a great nation. And he says, V'avarcha mevarchecha mekalelcha, or I will bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. So Rabbeinu B'chai explains that there were people in those days who used to worship Avodah Zarah, they used to worship the Kochos and Shamayim, all different kinds of Avodah Zarah. And the thing about Kochos and Shamayim is they're very limited. Hashem gives a koach to, let's say, the Sar, or the koach of Ma'adim, Mars, constellation of Mars, the planet of Mars, so it has some malach on top of it in Shemayim. So if you want that's connected to blood and death, the red planet, right? So if you whatever kochos Hashem gave it, it's all for destruction. So you can't use it for good. And that's the way every koach is. It's very limited in what it can do. It's whatever power Hashem gave it that it could use. Hashem is not that way. Hashem obviously could do everything. So that's mevarchecha, avarcha mevarchecha mekalelcha, or I will bless those who bless you, I will curse those who curse you. Hashem can do both. Hashem can do total opposites, because Hashem's not limited. So that's, again, the advertisement. Avram is Mr. Yichud, right? He's the one who declared that there's one Ribbono Shel Olam in the world who runs everything. So for him, Hashem says, you'll see both coming from me. And everyone around him will see both happening, that those who curse him will be cursed, those who bless him will be blessed, they'll know that Hashem is Dovek to him. Okay. So then he discusses, I guess very briefly, Maisi Avasim and Labanim, but just mentions that all Nevi'im, right, Maisi Avasim and Labanim is about the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. However, we also have it, he says, by all Nevi'im, they all did actions that were to be mechazik their nevuah. That is, they had a nevuah, and if about something going to happen, so they would do some small action to hint to then to make it that it would make it. They put it into action, not just words, put into action that made it stronger and that it would be for sure going to happen. So that's all the Maisi Avasim and Labanim we know about was also on that way, that they did actions that made it that are for sure going to happen in the future. Again, I don't know if the Ramban exactly explains it this way. The Ramban says, when you do something, it creates that it's going to, the Avos did something, it created that would happen in the future. The thing for all Nevi'im is that if they would do an action based on what they had in Nevuah that was going to happen, that would make it stronger. Okay. Anyway, that's how you're explaining Avram doing these walking around. A lot of things in the Parsha that he talks about, Maisi Avasim and Labanim. It's this idea that once an action happens, it's for sure going to happen. Okay. I just want to throw in quickly, there's a famous Rav Shlomo Kluger that says that that's why we have the Simanim in Rosh Hashanah. We do something that's an action to concretize in case we were donned, had some psak for good. That also, you know, kind of makes it like it's for sure going to happen because we already did an action that concretizes it, something like that. All right, anyway, then we have, it says, Vaknani az ba'aretz. The Knani were then in the land. Now, elsewhere we find, it says, a little bit afterwards, it says, Vaknani va'prizi az yoshev ba'aretz. Vaknani va'prizi az yoshev ba'aretz. It says yoshev. Here it just says, Vaknani az ba'aretz. The Knani were in the land. It doesn't say yoshev ba'aretz. So, Rabbeinu Bachai says that means because it means the koach of Knani, not the Canaanites themselves, but the malach of the Knanim. Because anything that whatever is davik to something else can take on its name. So since the malach is davik to the malach of Canaan, of the Canaanim, was davik to the Canaanim, he himself was called the Canaani. We find that, we also find that by even the Avdol the Rebbeinu Shalom, who says, we say in the Shir Shayom on Sundays, Yom Rishon, we say, Mevak Shefanecha Yaakov Sela. What is it? Mevak Shefanecha Yaakov Sela. It means Mevak Shefanecha, the God of Yaakov Sela. Well, Hashem is called Yaakov because of we connect to Hashem, so Hashem is called Yaakov. And in the same vein, you find Malachim called B'Shem Hashem because they're connected to Hashem. Okay, he says that explains a great many inyanim in the Torah. All right. So we then have the story of Paro and Sarah. So Avram says, Imri ne'achosi at, say you were my sisters, the Ramban. Here says that was a chait, that he shouldn't have done this. And that's why we had the Galus Mitzrayim. And Rabbeinu Bechai says, no, well, the Pasha Pshat in Chazal is because Avram said, Bama idaki roshena. Either way, whatever the case may be, it was some chait in Dibor. Either Avram asked Sarah to do something he shouldn't have asked her to do, or because he said, Bama idaki roshena. But because of those Diburim, what he said, therefore we were going to Galus, for it was supposed to be 400 years, which was supposed to be the Torah says later 430 years that they were in Mitzrayim. So then number 430 was the chait because of Dibor. So now, if you think about it, most sins obviously are Dibor, Machshava, and Maisa, not just words. They're also thoughts, they're words, they're actions. So he says, therefore, by the Beis HaMikdash, where they served Avodah Zarah, and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so they sinned in all three ways. And therefore, it makes sense that the Galus from the Beis HaMikdash, meaning I think this means after the second Beis HaMikdash, the total Galus after the final Churban Abayis would be three times 430, which is 1290. That's what the pasuk in Daniel says, Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yud Aleph, that Ashrei Mechakeh Ve'Yagia LeYamim Elef U'Masayim Betishim. So he says that's the amount of the Galus. It'll end after 1290 years. Unfortunately, we're not zocher to have that happen. But so whatever the pshat in that pasuk in Daniel is, it mentions that number 1290. That's where he says where it comes from. Okay. Moving right along, there's a story with Lot, and Avram separates himself from Lot because of the fight he had with their shepherds. And he says, this is a fascinating thing, he says, Im hasmol v'aymina v'im hayimin v'asma'ila. So Avram tells Lot, look, you go one way, I'll go the other way. That's the way it sounds. And he says, if you go right, I'll go left. If you go left, I'll go right. Well, Rabbeinu Bachai wonders about that. That sounds a little disingenuous. We know exactly where Avram was going. He was going south. So, what does he mean? If you go left, I'll go right. If you go right, I'll go left. No, that's not true. Avram wanted to go right. Right always means south. That's where Avram was headed. So, what would it mean? What would it mean if you want? Hashem told him to go to Eretz Yisrael. We know he's going to Yerushalayim, to Har HaMoriah. at least whatever, to Eretz Yerushalayim. So what does he mean? He has to go south. Why is he saying, oh, if you want, you go south, I'll go north? So if you look at the Targum Unkelish, you'll find an amazing thing, which if you do Shnayim Mikra, I'm sure you'll notice, right? Well, now maybe you'll pay attention to Shnayim Mikra. So on the Pasuk, it says in the Targum, Imatla tipuna anola daroma vimatla daroma vaatz penach. Whoa, it flipped. It says imatla tipuna, if you go north, anola daroma, I'll go south. That's good. Vimatla daroma, if you want to go south, vaatz penach, I will send you north. You got that? He wasn't really giving him a choice. You want to go north? I'll go south. You want to go south? I'll tell you to go north. I'll make you go north. In other words, he wasn't really giving him an option. He was saying, you'll go north. Got it? So that's just interesting. Not the simple way you read the pasuk. Okay, it says later, Vayavo HaPalit, when Lot gets captured, Vayavo HaPalit. The Palit came. Who's the Palit? Is Og. Why is he called Og? Well, because Rabbi Nebuchai says, it's based on earlier sources, that he came when Sarah was making Ugos. That's why he got the name Og. Okay, Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says it was Michal, though. Not as well known. And then we, later on we mention, again, all this is me mentioning the parts that jump out of me, obviously. I'm not doing every Rabbeinu B'chaim, I'm doing the ones that jump out of me. So just, it says, V'hu shochein be'elonei mamrei ha'emori. It says, he dwelled in the land of Elonei Mamre ha'emori. Everybody knows by the mitzvah of Mila, the ones who talked to him about it was Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. But the one who actually gave him the Eitzah that he should do a bris is Mamre. So that's why it only says by Mamre, the Emori, even though all Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre were all Emorites. But it says Emori by Mamre because he's the one who was Omar, he's the one who told Avram to do the bris Mila. Okay, something else fascinating. We have Lot gets captured, and Avram goes to chase after him with 318 people. Or not. So the pasuk says, "Va'erkes chanichav yilidei beiso shmona asar shlosh meyos va'yirdof hardam." So he got all the people of his household, 318. So right, we all know the famous Chazal. Chazal tells us that 300. Right, Rashi brings it right. Those 318 people were just Eliezer. So Rabbeinu Bechai asks, why? It doesn't sound like that. It doesn't. Don't we have a rule? Ein mikri yotzei midei pshuto. It says there were 318 people. So ein mikri yotzei midei pshuto. That means there were 318 people. So he explains like this: Avram, of course, had 318 people in his who used to eat by him, who were his people. Then it comes time for war. So Avram says, "Okay, I got to go out to war." What happens in the Torah? What does the Torah tell us when you go out to war? The Meshuach Bachama comes out there and says, anybody here is afraid that they have any Averos, they should go home. Okay? So Rabbeinu Bechai says that's what Avram did. He told his 318 people, okay, I'm going to war. Anybody who's afraid who thinks they have any Averos, go home. And then he turned around, who's left? Eliezer. That's it. So he was like the 318 people because everybody else went home. The only person left was Eliezer, but he was as strong as the 318 people in the sense that he had the Zchusim. He was a tzaddik, and that's why, that's how it goes. And it says he went to save Lot Achiv. Well, it says, Vayishma Avram, Kinishba Achiv. What does it mean, his brother? It wasn't his brother. It was his nephew. So, the Rabbeinu Bechai explains, because it's emphasizing for you that he acted to him like a brother, because even though they had fought, with their shepherds, still Avram acted him like a brother and went to war for him. Okay, then he meets, after the war, he meets Shem, and Shem is the Kohen, and Shem says, Baruch Avram, and then he says, Baruch Hashem again, right? First he blesses Avram, then he blesses Hashem. Chazal and Darim tells us that was a big sin, and because of that, because Shem blessed them in the wrong order, blessed Avram and then Hashem, which should have been the opposite order because of that, Shem lost the kahuna and it went to Avram. That's what the Gemara in the Darim says. So Rabbeinu Bechai says a pashut thing. If Shem wasn't the Kohen, then you know that story with Yehuda and Tamar? So Yehuda heard that Tamar was pregnant, and he said, Hotziyua v'sisareif, take her out to be burned. Why should she be burned? Right? Now Rashi tells us, because she was the daughter of Shame. She was descended from, she was a Bas Kohen. Therefore, she had to be burnt. Wait a minute, he lost the kahuna. He's not, if she's not a Bas Kohen. You know what Rabbi Bechai says? He didn't know. You're right. In a Hanami. Yehuda didn't know. If he knew, he would never would have said that. But he didn't know. Okay. Interesting. Rabbi Bechai also mentions when it says Hashem took Avram hachutza and he took him above the constellation. Says, don't worry about mazel. So he says, he just mentions that which Chazal tell us, in mazel Yisrael, that doesn't mean there's no mazel at all. There is mazel Yisrael just for individuals. When Chazal tell us, in mazel Yisrael, that's for the Jewish people as a whole, there's no mazel. For individuals, there is mazel. Like the, he doesn't mention this, but like the Gemara in Chagiga says, and Daf Chalches, that brichai mizoni, kids, money, and life, those are all tali and mazel. Okay. It's a big machlokes rishonim what that means there. But this is Rabbi Bechai's opinion, and that's his Rebbe's opinion, the Rashba as well. Okay. He tells Avram, he takes him above the constellation and says, look at the stars. Ko yezarecha, so will your children be. So Rabbi Bechai says, you know what that means? That lasud lavo, in the future, the different, in Olam Abba, there'll be so many different levels of light. That is, each Tzaddik or Talmud Chacham or whatever, they all had reached their own specific madrigas, and everybody's light will be different than the rest. Some will be super bright, some will be a little less bright, a little less bright, a little less bright. Everyone will have their own individual levels, and that's what the Jewish people be. Kol Yezarecha will be like the stars. There are shining lights, but different levels of shining. Okay, beautiful. Then we have that the Gullus is going to be 400 years. Now he explains without really explaining in a way we can 100% understand, regular people here, that the Gullus was supposed to be 400 years because there was an Ayin Hara. Why there was an Ayin Hara, not so clear. What he means, not so clear to the non-Kabbalists among us. He says there was an Ayin Hara because somehow he had Midas Adin in there, whatever. Not getting into that. But he says this interesting thing, that whenever there's Ayin Hara, most places where you find Ayin Hara, you find the number 400. Or maybe say it the other way. Every time you find the Torah, the number 400, there's an Ayin Hara lurking. That's apparently the Ayin Hara number. And guess what? That's the gematria of Ayin Ra is 400. So he says there was this Ayin Hara here, and that's why they got the 400 years in Mitzrayim. Also, by Ephron, he says there was Ayin Ra, because Ephron had an Ayin Ra, and that's how, and Ephron's gematria is also 400. And he charged him 400 kesef. And also Esav, it says, Yaakov sent him the presents, in, not at once, kedei lahasbia eino, because he also had an ayin ra, and Esav had his 400 men. Okay, that's what he says. We have Hagar. Why is Hagar called Hagar? So Rabbi Bechai tells us, because ha-agrech is based on Medrash. Hagar's name comes from ha-agrech, this is your schar. Because Paro gave it to Sarah, gave Hagar to Sarah as a present because of taking her in. So Paro gave him Hagar and said, called her Hagar because ha agrech, this is your schar. Okay, so Sarah works Hagar hard. She runs away and she meets the Malach. The Malach says, "Shuvi el gavir teich," and go back to your master. So Rabbi Bechai says that's, this is the beginning of Yishmael. This is actually the first time Yishmael is mentioned, right, that he's going to have a son Yishmael. So he says, go back to your Gvir, because that's Lasid Lavo, that'll be the end. Eventually, they'll be under us. Then we have the Shem Shakai. Ani Kel Shakai. Right. So what does the name Shakai mean? He brings a bunch of different perushim. One is from the Nagid, who said that it comes from Shodade. That is, that he conquers all the Marachas HaKochavim, all the other Kochas in Shemayim around Hashem. Another possibility of what the name Shakai is Day machzor asher yechsel Hashem gives enough for everyone needs. And then the Ramban's pshat in the Shem of Shekai is that it is the midah that Hashem does nisim nistarim with. That's the Shem that you use for nisim nistarim, which sounds to me like it goes well with the Nagid's pshat. Shodei damarachas hakochavim. The Hashem controls the kochavim. Either way, those are the different pshatim brings and what the Shem Shekai connotes. Again, just the Ramban's pshat is that it's the Shem of nisim nistarim. Used for Nisim's term, I should say. Okay. Let me talk about the mitzvah of Mila. So the Rabbeinu B'chai points out that the mitzvah of Mila is similar to a karban. And just like a karban, the person's only ready for a karban. The animal's only ready for a karban after 8 days. So too the baby has to be 8 days old. Just like the dam of a karban is mechaper, so too the dam of the Mila is mechaper. And just like you eat the carbon and you get a kapara for eating the carbon, so too we have a suda at the bris milah. Wow. Suda is more serious than you thought. This also, based on this explanation, and it's based on the Medrash, Pirkei de Rav Elazar, it comes out that the mitzvah milah is more the dad's mitzvah, even though, I mean, we know this, I'm just saying it's also the son's, but it's really, as you can see, to an extent, intended. It's a mitzvah avala ben, certainly, but it seems intended for the father, like we all know. But you know, okay. Just one last point, and that is just that he mentions that the name of Yitzchak, both Avram and Yaakov, two out of three avos names changed. Avram went from Avram to Avram. Yaakov is Yaakov to Yisrael. Yitzchak never changed his name. Why is that? He says because Yitzchak was the only one not named by a person. Avram was named by his father. Yaakov was named by his father. Yitzchak was named by Hashem. Hashem said, called him Yitzchak. That's why he keeps the name Yitzchak.